Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Naked Departure Talk Show. This show is live and interactive, and we invite the audience to join the discussion. You can call into the studio by clicking on the Skype button which appears on the show page, or by calling us on 1-914-205-5805. Alternatively, you can post your questions or comments in the chat room, which also appears on the show page. Thank you for tuning in. The management of Naked Departure Talk Show does not represent, endorse, or validate any views, opinions, products, or services promoted on this show.
Hello, this is Sherry Veronica. Today is September 28th, 2016, and I want to welcome everyone to Naked Departure Radio. With me in studio today is Victor, and we wanted to talk about a very interesting subject that came about when we discovered, well, when the vast majority of Barbadians discovered that Barbados might have been a lab. Was a lab. It was an experiment in turning human beings into slaves. Let me welcome Victor into the studio. Victor?
Morning, Sherry. Morning, listeners.
Thanks.
That was a very interesting find that you posted on the blog, and it was also enlightening to me because before that, I had no clue that my beloved Barbados had been used as a lab during the triangular slave debacle that our ancestors were brought into during the slave trade. Having listened to that and subsequently having read from the pages of history about where Barbados was and its juxtaposition to experimentation on blacks. Indeed, Barbados, those that live in Barbados, the remnants of which has manifested itself in many Barbadians, we need to be speaking to those ills and to our Africanness and to our African brothers and sisters across the diaspora, with reference to the treatment that we absorbed, our ancestors absorbed, that's still to be formed in us to this day. And historically, that we meted out to various people of Afrocentric origins across the globe, more especially in North America. So I'm interested, Sherry, because I know you've done exhaustive study on this, more so than myself, to hear your viewpoint and to be able to add a little to what I think is a very interesting topic, because it's so rooted in some of the manifestations in our behaviors today, now, right now, that is interesting to hear where you will take this and what you have found. So I'll pass it back to you.
Yeah, I think I know just as much as anyone else, because when I was a young girl in Barbados, I felt it. I felt something was really weird, but that's just something that people just put aside. That means nothing in the realm of things. Your feelings on your that sixth or seventh sense means nothing. But coming to this realization, since I started looking at Barbados with new eyes, maybe years ago, 5-6 years ago, I started looking at Barbados with new eyes, with a new sense of wanting to know, why do Barbadians behave the way they behave? Why is it always a con? Why is it always something that they can get from you? And they give quite they don't want to give. They don't want to give you anything. And then to search and to realize that the gem that they spoke about when we were young, yes, they would have talked about the Caribs and they would have talked about the Arawaks. You know, that's nothing. That's just gravy when you think about what really happened in Barbados being the epicenter of what it was to turn a human being into a slave. And when you read that the white masters could kill our ancestors for any reason, when you hear that babies were ripped out of women's stomachs as part of the terror that was meted out, when you hear that our ancestors' mouths were pried open and they would shit in their mouths or piss in their faces, when you hear about what it took to turn a human being into an animal, Barbadians are grappling with this. It's something that it must make their head spin. It must, you know, sometimes the blood rushes to your head because you just cannot believe what you're hearing. And then to think that the same masters, the remnant, the ones that stayed, black people went back to those people and begged for their jobs back or begged for a job. It is beyond reason. It is mind-blowing to think that a 95% population will still depend on people who did that to their ancestors. So in a way, you have to imagine that they don't want to know this history. They don't want to know that they were complicit. They don't want to think of themselves as comfortable in slavery. They don't want to think of themselves as being the first domesticated people. The first domesticated people. Because after a while, you had to tame the animal that you created because they had to work in the houses. They had to work in the industries. They had to do the work that the white people were doing, but they left or they retired or they died, whatever. But they had to do that work, so you had to domesticate the ones that you created as animals. So when we look at this straight on and we see Barbados as being a lab. You know, some people will say that the Garden of Eden was a lab, and it created a new human. And then to think that there was a black hole in the West Indies, a black hole, a singularity, a place in space and time called Barbados, that such inhumane suppression, such violence, such horrors happened, and we happened to have been born there. What do you say? Could that stench have been removed from us? Could the madness have been removed from us? I mean, the DNA, has it stuck to us somewhere along the line? The memory of it all, is it still with us? Are we afraid for no reason? Do we like or not like ourselves for some reason? And when we look at everything in totality, how do we look back at what happened in Barbados and the fact that we were born there? How do we analyze? How do we recompense? How do we reconcile? How is everything that you can look at and you try to be an intellectual, you try to act within reason, you try to settle your mind and you try to have some sort of sense to what you're thinking and what you're feeling, and you try to make sense out of something that is so nonsensical, because who could imagine that our ancestors were treated the way they were treated, how they were branded, their tongues were cut out, their noses were chopped off, their hands were chopped off, half their feet were cut. Who could imagine something like that could have happened? No children were being born. Every child was dying in childbirth. The mother was dying. They had to keep a constant flow of slaves, of people coming from Africa. It was a constant trek back and forth to bring people to Barbados because they were dying. How do you turn a human? How do you turn a man? How do you turn a woman into an animal without having a whole lot of death on your hand? And then you wonder, were they psychedelics? Were they using drugs? Was there something else other than what we are hearing that they used to turn our foreparents into groveling, diminutive animals? So for me, it perplexes my mind, and I want to know more. For some people, they don't want to know. They wish they had never heard. And for some people, they say, well, it is what it is. That's what some people say. It is what it is. But where do you go from here? For me, I want to know more. I want to know everything that happened. And I want to know, after everything that has happened, why do black people still go to the white man for sustenance? Victor?
Barbadians oftentimes tend to kill the messenger and never to look at the message. And I believe that what's happening in North America with seemingly outrageous regularity as it relates to Black Lives Matter movement, the current political climate as it affects African Americans and Africans in America has a lot to do with what transpired during the Triangular Trade Route. Many may say, well, that happened hundreds of years ago. But the DNA, the footprint, is still upon not only the Caribbean, but also South America. You know, Brazil is has the largest population of people of African descent outside of Africa. So what has transpired in Brazil, what's transpired in other South American countries, Mexico has a large population of black people as well, so does Argentina and Peru. And the Druids, the same kind of social ills, the same social sclerosis that has sung itself upon Barbadians and other people of African descent continues here in the United States. And the video that was posted on Naked Blog was an excellent video because it encapsulated really what transpired relative to what the totality of the experiment in Barbados, how it was begun. And the person who narrated the blog, the video, along with Dr. Hilary Beckles, shed great light on how that transpired, how it brought forward from back then to now, the totality of the brutality of what Europeans, Englishmen, were responsible for doing in Barbados in that specific era of slavery. But to fast forward to the ills that has impacted on Barbadians, it's the realization that to this day we still call Barbados Little England, almost as if that's something to be proud of, when most Europeans are treated better in Barbados than they're treated in Europe. And most Europeans are not very spiritual at all, not very religious at all. In fact, Europe probably is one of the most irreligious places that you can find, non-religious places that you can find on the planet Earth. So the fact that we have adopted something or anything given to us by those people, by the people who were largely responsible for our mistreatment, is complete lunacy. I do not understand how we could adopt a model like that, where 95% population, a government headed by people that look like me and you, Sherry, yet the mendicants that we call politicians, and that's exactly what they are, people. They're mendicants, prostitutes, that sit in a place called a House of Assembly. It's a house of whores, and that's where those prostitutes sit. They prostitute themselves upon the people without grace. They screw the people every day without even kissing them, without any kind of caring for the people. It's insidious. And it could only have been orchestrated by the 5%, knowing that they were going to have that social experiment. And Barbados, in all actuality, was the first place for apartheid. Long before South Africa, Barbados had its own apartheid and still does, still have its own apartheid. So at the end of the day, the ills meted out on the people of Barbados at the hands of the prostitutes, the 5%ers, and the operatives of the 5%ers, namely the 30 prostitutes that sit in Parliament, needs to really be looked at carefully and to be revamped, because the people need to have a social cry, a social outcry against what's happening to them. The ills that the people suffer, they suffer not only from the 5%, but from the people who hold the hand, who carry the dog whistle, the whistleblowers for the masters, the fetchers for the masters of the 5% masters of Barbados in the government. And that is why issues like rampant crime, social ills like not being able to get water in parishes for almost a year now without anyone being responsible, without anyone standing up and taking some form of responsibility and correction for what's going on, is allowed to happen. Those things are not just hazard things or things that were just pulled out of thin air, Sherry. Those things are actually part and parcel of the Barbadianization and bastardization of the masses in Barbados at the hands of an inept and corrupt government who has been spoon-fed and force-fed the same model that existed in the 1600s that they hold on to today, that they propagate, that they perpetuate without any amelioration at all and any caring at all for the citizens of Barbados. And the people need to understand that the systemic racist policies of the British, of the slave holders, the 5% former slave masters that populate Barbados today, the remnants of that attitude persist in our culture in Barbados today. That is why it is easy for them to pretty much do what has been done here in the United States of America, to give the minions, to give the blacks liquor, drugs, prostitution, high crime rates, allow them to kill each other and to sit back almost with content and allow these things to happen without any regard at all. And I'm not neglecting the fact, Sherry, that Barbadians, black Barbadians, do not need to take responsibility for their own actions. I'm not disregarding that. But I am indeed saying that there was a social responsibility that should have been offered to the people in Barbados after slavery. And the historical pages will tell us that those things were never offered to black people in Barbados. And if black people in Barbados really stand up and look at what they're owed relative to any form of reparation, in any form of justice, they will find out that really to call Barbados Little England to get on a boat called the Jolly Roger or anything of that sort is insidious, is lunacy, and that we should totally do away, in acting in any capacity that would merge our souls, merge our activities and actions with anything that is European. Europeans did not mean Barbados well. The history pages will reflect that. Dr. Hilary Beckles, in all of his lectures, has spoken eloquently with reference to the totality of the disruption that Europe and the European invaders, that they have perpetuated on Barbados. How then can we as Barbadians, in all normalcy, walk around every single day knowing that our ancestors were rapidly, almost ventricularly scarred for many, many centuries afterwards, and it still persists today, and we wake up every single day knowing that we are living in an insidious dream, a dream from which there seems to be no level of recovery for black people. 95% of us ruled by 5% in all facets. And that's just in Barbados, not to look at the totality of how the global breakdown is relative to how people of color, black people, melanated people, whether they be black, brown, yellow, whatever, how they are controlled and maintained by the superior ruling classes, which are minority classes. We need to look at that because of the slave, triangular slave trade that still exists to this day, still exists for all intents and purposes in the boardrooms, in the institutions, in the schools, in the churches. It is all there for everyone who wants to see it, to reach out and touch it. It is there. So unless we make those drastic changes that will permit future generations, if not even our own generation, but future generations, to have a cleaner, more positive life and a prospect for success, then we are just spinning the wheel. We're just kicking the can further down the road to no avail. So I'll toss this back to you and have your feel on what I just said.
I agree with everything you've just said, and I wonder about the people who would think that we are being pessimistic, we are being negative, because from my vantage point, when every day a black man is being shot in the back by white policemen, we don't hear about Japanese, we don't hear about anyone else being shot up. We know that the Cubans came over, and you cannot even go to Miami and find someone who does not speak Spanish, and some people came over from Cuba and they refused to learn English. But the thing about the Cuban is that they set up their own area in Miami. They are in the courts, they have law firms, they have coffee shops, they have shoe repair, everything Cuban. They have their food, they have everything that you can think about that they had in Cuba, they have in Miami in abundance, and they have thrived. They are thriving. So it can be done. People can come out of situations and do things. But what happened with the Igbo? What happened with the tribe that populated the West Indies for slavery? What happened? What happened there? And when I say that I can see if a situation were to happen in case of an emergency, as I termed it, get nigger, what do you think, Victor? Do you think that it would be really hard to think of them putting their hands on black people and making them slaves again? Do you think that it would be an impossibility?
They don't have to place their hands on us to make us slaves again. The minstrel show still continues. The show with Blackface still continues. It just continues at another level, in another sphere, albeit in a corporate board, albeit at a governmental level. I heard recently that the Barbados government has to another downgrade.
You're sounding a little out of loop. You're sounding a little muffled.
I'm hearing that the Barbados government has gone down again as another downgrade financially. So they're still doing it. They're doing it to governments now. There are economic hitmen out there that continuously take control of a country, of a country's people. It's most beautiful and most natural resource, of course, is its people. They take control of that. And they force those people into servitude, into lack of self-determination. And that's happening in Barbados now because the vision of the people that govern Barbados is lacking. The people that hold office in Barbados that are servants to the masses, your ministers, your parliamentary representatives, those people lack the resolve to make issues, put issues in front of them and to solve issues. They're not issue prone as far as resolution. So if the question is, can it happen again? It's happening. It's not can it happen again. The people are being held by serfs. The serfs that exist in the 21st century happens to be the government of Barbados. And they hold the people for the 5% that run the country, the 5% that are able to take from the system in Barbados all of the plenitude, all of the haughty lifestyle that really has been ill-gotten gains. And there are many who will say, well, I came to Barbados and I worked hard in Barbados. No, you can't work hard when you have a white complexion. A white complexion already absolves you of having to work hard. It opens doors for you that can never be open for most people that look like me, right? And that's not to make an excuse. The playing field could never be level. There can be no black man in Barbados who could have gotten what Carl Williams got or what Busy Williams had received. Never. Those playing fields were made, were opened up for those two people at the behest, basically, of black people who propped them up, who gave them the opportunity to be where they are. But more importantly, a black government, a black majority government, gave a white majority system the propellant that it needed to be successful on an island or on several different islands. So we have invidious distinctions that exist throughout the Caribbean, more importantly in Barbados. And yes, if you're asking me if I believe that slavery has been revisited, it never left. The residuals of it, you know, are to be found, are to be seen right now in Barbados and in the classist segregationist system, the apartheid system that exists in Barbados and that has existed from inception till right now. So I am telling you that historically we may have one man, one vote. We may have a parliamentary democracy, but the truism of democratic principles and democratic ideals, Barbados is certainly far away from those things. And as Barbados' credit in the world is depleted and it becomes more and more forced into a debt crisis, more and more Barbadians will become disenfranchised, and they will really be able to start to understand on a larger scale where they are relative to what has been done in Barbados. And again, who knows if what's being done from an economic vantage point is not even part of a scheme to make the 5% even richer in Barbados. Because once the poor are disenfranchised to where they only have the shirts on their back sharing, it may very well be that those who are very wealthy in Barbados even become wealthier. They will even become wealthier and even own much more of Barbados. So the surf situation is still further perpetuated.
I've been made to understand that there was a time in Barbados' history where they were starving. When I say starve, I mean literally starving, eating rats, eating dog. They were going into the Carinage and fetching food that was discarded. And I was made to believe that it was a hard time in Barbados. People were catching hell. And you would have thought that with that history, with that behind them, and you could say it's modern, it was like in the 1930s, 1940s, with that happening, you would think that there would have, that would have been another opportunity, a second opportunity since being emancipated to really have gotten their act together. The show is ending on Blog Talk, so I want to thank everyone that is on Blog Talk, and we are going to move over now to we are streaming and we are YouTubing, so we have other methods that we are recording. So I'm going to sign off from Blog Talk.
Unfortunately, we've come to the end of this episode of Naked Departure Talk Show. If you would like to appear as a guest on the show, simply email our producer at nakeddeparture@gmail.com or message us directly from the show page. We would love to have you as a guest on the show. You can listen to a repeat of this episode at any time in the future. Simply go to our show page at blogtalkradio.com/nakeddeparture and follow the link. I would like to thank our guests, the discussion panel, and the production team. I would also like to thank the listeners for tuning in and giving us an audience. We will now leave you with the sweet jazzy sounds of Trade.